in order for me to be saved from the life I was leading and the sin that just had me in prison, that only the Lord could free me.
Staigute, welcome my friends to The Storyteller, where you'll find First Nations people from across Native North America who are following Jesus Christ without reservation. Last time, Hugh Grant shared how alcohol devastated his life. This time, he'll share with us how he found freedom from it. If you or someone you know has struggled with alcohol, you won't want to miss what he says.
I ran around for a couple of years, and then I got married in 1961, and I have 5 children. Within 10 years, I was divorced, 1972, due to alcohol. But then I really got worse. I ran from responsibility of child support. It was just sporadic. And so I was running from the law, really. Spent a lot of times in lockup over all of this. And I held many jobs. Some was in logging and in the sawmills, construction, just labor work, and then working in farm labor. I guess the longest job I ever had at that time was in Oakland, California, where I went into printing, and I made journeyman printer, but I only worked there for 5 years. But anyway, most of these jobs, not all, but most of these jobs I lost because of alcohol. But finally, I ended up in Portland, Oregon. And I ended up on Skid Row, and I was just working in the labor field, where I got my checks every day, and I was always working, but I didn't want to get a good job because I knew I wasn't going to be able to hold on to it. But I finally, in 1980, I stumbled into a Totem Lodge. That's a Native American Rehabilitation Association here in Portland. But then I left there, and I ended up in the VA hospital in the same year, 1980, for alcohol treatment in Roseburg, Oregon. In January 1981, right after I got out of treatment at the VA, I went to work for Good Samaritan Hospital in Portland, Oregon. And then after 18 months working there, I met my wife. She worked in a different department there, but I met her in a lunchroom. And I knew there was something different about her. And I really didn't know what it was, but I just wanted to, just to get to know her. And eventually we did date. And I remember when I came to the church and my future wife, we came together, I knew very little about what I was doing. But something about the pastor and what he said about sin and the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. I just was impressed with that and wanted to know more. So when he came to my door and knocked on my door, I was really impressed. I never had anybody do that. And so he came in, visited with me and prayed with me and started teaching me on his own. And so that was when I learned so much more about how Jesus would save me. Because I was still hurting, even though I was in the program of AA, I was still on slippery ground. So over time, I knew that Jesus was the way for me to go. The pastor told me, too, that when Jesus came to die for my sins, he paid the penalty in full. It was a free gift of God, and I wouldn't have to do anything but just accept this free gift. And that's what happened. And I just kept going back and back and back until I got into the Bible studies. And they stressed that in order for me to be saved from the life I was leading and the sin that just had me in prison, that only the Lord could free me. The pastor shared with me Romans 3:23, that we've all sinned and fall short of the glory of God. So that meant he meant everybody, himself included. So that made it so much easier to, you know, I mean, for a pastor to say that they are a sinner themselves, then that made it so much easier for me. And then in Romans 6:23, and well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And that, as we studied these verses, that it started just making more sense and more sense as he was sharing this with me. I was baptized on January of 83, and we were married April 1983, same year. We will have 25 years in April of this year. I earned my GED at Clackamas Community College, and then I went to alcohol counseling. But because of my previous work history, I decided to stay with the Good Samaritan Hospital. And after 20 years, I retired on January 7, 2000. And then on November 10, 2007, I celebrated 27 years clean and sober. Currently, I do ministry work with Dave Hopkins, he's on staff with CHIEF, that stands for Christian Hope Indian Eskimo Fellowship. They're located in Phoenix, Arizona. And we travel together. We've been traveling together now for approximately 17 years. And we've been to Alaska, Canada, Washington, Oregon, California, and Nevada, to the reserves and other reservations. When Dave and I go, I try to zero in on the alcohol and drugs and the lifestyle of the native peoples on the reservation. And I understand that because I worked on the reservations. And I did firefighting and suppression crews for the Bureau of Indian Affairs and on the reservations. And I lived that lifestyle because many of my relations are on the res in California. And so I kind of have that experience of drinking and from house to house and the troubles with families and other tribes. And I like to tell them about the experience I've had of knowing the Lord when I was a boy and wanting to be good. I just walked away, and and just ignored them. And the only time I would come to prayer was when I was facing the judge and getting in trouble. But then, over all these years of 30 years of drinking and the law and almost the car wrecks and the hospitals, being locked up for 6 years of my life because of alcohol, there was always something missing. And I've tried everything. Only the Lord can fill it. And so I put together scriptures that go along with this, and so the people can relate to me. And as an elder, I've never had any problems on all the reservations we've went. The reason I have for going out and sharing this message with my people is that I know we're all going to have to stand before God and make an account of our life, the things we've done. And the wages of sin is death. But He gives us a free gift. And all we have to do is accept that free gift to be with Him forever in heaven. But if you don't accept that gift, eternal damnation and into the lake of fire, and it's just to be with Satan forever. I want to be with the Lord forever in heaven. Jesus has given me a hope that someday I'm going to be with the Lord and with my family, but above all is that I'll have peace, and someday I get to go over to the promised land.
What about you, my friend? Have you accepted God's gift of forgiveness and eternal life? There's only one way to get it, and that's by trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior. Jesus went to the cross to pay for our sins so that we could be right with God. Did you know He made that payment with you and me in mind? Why would He do this? Because He loves us, and because He doesn't want us to suffer the judgment we deserve. In the Bible, we read these words, "But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." God is offering you forgiveness and peace right now. What will you do with Jesus Christ? Interested in what you've heard? Visit our website withoutreservation.com and click on the tab New Life. You can also write to us at The Storyteller, P.O. Box 1001, Bemidji, Minnesota 56619. Our phone number is 877-766-4648. We're also on Facebook at Without Reservation. Missed a program or want to listen again? You can download our app and take The Storyteller with you. Thanks for listening. And remember, the greatest story took place at the cross. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My friends, there are more amazing stories to tell, so be sure to join us again next time as we listen to The Storyteller.